Good morning, brothers and sisters. Concerning God manifestation, Brother Thomas writes, "Men were not ushered into being for the purpose of being saved or lost. God manifestation, not human salvation, was the great purpose of the eternal spirit." And that is why we study it this weekend, because it is the great purpose of the deity. To manifest means to show plainly, to reveal, and this gives us a clue as to why there is a need for God manifestation. God manifestation is necessary in order for us to know and understand God, His Spirit, His angels, His Son, and His future plan for us. It is only through manifestation that the deity has revealed Himself to the world. In order for someone to understand these aspects of the divine order, an understanding of a God manifestation is essential. Hopefully, this will become somewhat clear through an introduction into the subject. But before we begin, I would like to point out that my remarks this morning have been directly pulled from Phanerosis, pages 38 through 68, and pages 77 through 80, and from Eureka, Volume 1, pages 89 through 111. What is presented are Brother Thomas's ideas expanded upon in the pages of both these works. Romans 1:19 reads, "That known of God is made manifest among men, for God makes manifest to them. For His invisible things from the creation of the world, being understood by the works, are discerned, both His ever-existing power and deity, that they may be inexcusable." Nature proclaims an ever-existing power that is superior to man, but it does not proclaim Yahweh's mode of existence, the place of His throne, His thinking, character, and purpose. The deity delights in stimulating the intellect of His creation. In revealing Himself to them, He manifests Himself in a mystery. This mystery is dramatically and doctrinally explained in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Deity manifested in flesh, justified by spirit, made visible to messengers, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received again to glory." So what has the deity revealed concerning Himself? John 1:1 reads, "In the beginning was Ho Logos, and the Logos was with the Theos, and Theos was the Logos." God was from the beginning. There is one deity styled Logos. Logos signifies the outward form by which the inward thought is expressed and made known, also the inward thought of reason itself. So that word comprehends both the ideas of reason and speech. It is equivalent to saying He was a reasoner and a revelator. But was the deity reason and speech only? No, for we are told that the Logos was with the Theos, and Theos was the Logos. Therefore, if no Logos, then there would be no Theos. And without Theos, the Logos could not exist. Theos is the substance called spirit. Therefore, eternal power is a Logos, or word, which is identical with Theos, or deity, glowing in light. Spirit, substantial and corporeal. The deity declares this divine substance to be the disposer and former of all things, a truth which the Spirit places before men. Isaiah 43, verse 21, and Isaiah 45, verses 7, 12, and 18 read, "This people Israel I formed for myself. I am Yahweh that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Thus saith Yahweh, He, the Elohim, that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I, Yahweh, and none else. He is truly the former of all things by Himself. The Deity is alone, one and unequal. 1 Corinthians 8, 4-7 says, There is no other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or upon the earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus anointed, on account of whom all things, and we through Him. Howbeit, the knowledge is in all. We can say that there are many gods and lords, but over and above them all is one supreme, who is styled the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the only one having deathlessness, inhabiting light unapproachable, who no one of men hath seen nor is able to behold. And that comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. And Jesus, when asked, Which is the chief commandment of all? Answered, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh thine Elohim with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, as, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Well, teacher, thou hast said the truth, for there is one deity, and there is no other but of Him. And that comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 34. So what is the substance of deity? The deity has both body and parts. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 reads, Jesus is the reflection of the glory and character, or peculiar nature, of the substance of the Theos. What Jesus now is what the deity has always been. The substance of the Theos is living substance. The Father has life in Himself and is styled the incorruptible Theos, the only one having deathlessness. Hence, the essential qualities of the substance are incorruptibility and life. Incorruptible and living substance is the body of the deity. And as the glorified Jesus is the image of the invisible Theos, He must have parts. He has form and parts, as well as body, and is the great archetype, or divine original, after which all the Elohim are modeled and made. He dwells in unapproachable light, and is a consuming fire. Light and heat, with incorruptibility and life, are in His substance. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 read, Above the firmament that was over the heads of the four living ones was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness and appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. Light, heat, incorruptibility, and life, concentrated in one eternal substance, is the great self-existing and central power of the universe. This substance is spirit, for the deity is spirit. All power, life, and light originate in Him, so that not a sparrow falls to the ground without Him knowing. He upholdeth all things, and in Him we live, move, and exist. Spirit irradiates the boundless universe from the throne of light and pervades it in all its space. The Spirit is consubstantial with the divine nature, free, radiating from unapproachable light everywhere, so that wherever Spirit is, there is the Deity present and not far from every one of us. The source of power in the universe is one. Therefore, everything that exists is out of Him. Spirit is the Theos called God. This Spirit is the Father out of whom are all things. John 5:21 reads, "The Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth." And John 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." The Father and the Spirit are the same. This Father Spirit is substantial, not an unsubstantial and immaterial spirit. Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3 reads, express image of His person. The Son is the character or exact representation of the Father. And Zechariah chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Upon one stone there shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith He, who shall be hosts." The graving here is termed character in the Greek, and signifies an impress wrought into a substance after some pattern. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 styles the character engraved as image of Theos the invisible. Seth was the image of Adam, and Adam was the image of the Elohim. Jesus was an image of Adam, but only in relation to flesh. Adam was the image of the Elohim in bodily form. Body and form were the basis of the images. Where body and form do not exist, there can be no image. Therefore, the Father Spirit is a bodily form, and as all things are out of Him, He is the center of the universe from which irradiates whatever exists. Power is embodied in the Father Spirit. Paternal power implies offspring or sons of power. This power emanates from the Father and is never separated from the center. The Son power, therefore, is the Father power, multitudinously expressed and manifested through many bodies. That which connects the focal power of the universe with the Son's power and with all created things is also styled free spirit. It is free in space and fills up space. The atoms of all material things are elemental blocks of free spirit, connecting all the bodies of heaven and all they contain with the center power of the universe. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12 read, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither from thy face shall I flee? If I shall ascend the heavens, thou art there. Though I shall spread down a Sheol, behold thee. I will take the wings of the dawn. I will dwell in the utmost end of the sea. Moreover, there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall take hold of me. And I said, surely darkness shall cover me, but the night was light about me. Moreover, darkness will not conceal from thee, but the night as the day will shine. As the darkness, so is the light." These verses tell us that the Father power is omnipotent by His Spirit. This all-pervading Spirit places Him in position with everything, so that at one and the same instant, He knows all events on earth as well as on the sun. Acts 17, verse 27 says, "He is not far from every one of us." We, including all flesh, are out of Him and in Him as physical beings. Hence, the Father power in Numbers 16:22 is styled power, powers of the spirits for all flesh. God is the originator of life. This life is God's Spirit in all. God is life absolute. He only hath deathlessness. Life radiating from Him is spirit life, Eloah Ruach, or power of spirit. He is therefore power of all flesh. Job 33:4 says, "The Ruach, or spirit of Baal, has made me, and the Nishmath, or breath of the Shaddai, or mighty ones, hath given me life." Here is the spirit of Baal through the breath of Shaddai that gives man life. If it is withdrawn, all men die. Job 34:14 says, If he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn unto dust. So far we have gotten a glimpse that God is one. He is the source of power and life. Through his spirit emanating from him, he upholds all things. He has body and form and is the source of light and heat. But what has he revealed to us through his names? The names that God has chosen to call himself are not arbitrary, but are names that he has used to make himself known to his people. The names God and Lord are bad translations and offer no insight or meaning into what he has revealed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew the name El Shaddai. Genesis 17:1 reads, Ani El Shaddai, walk before me and be thou perfect. And Elohim talked with him, for Elohim and to a seed after him. El expresses the idea of power, might, and strength. Shaddai is plural and signifies mighty or powerful ones. We find El associated with other words. In Genesis 33:20, Jacob named an altar El Elohai Israel. Jesus was one and the Father was another. Therefore, there are two persons, the Father by himself, El or power, but when associated with Jesus, he was El Eloah, the power being one and the medium of manifestation, another Eloah. Therefore, the altar is translated the power of the powerful ones of Israel in sacrificial manifestation. Eloah implies power, just like the name El. Isaiah 44:8 reads, Exist there an Eloah without me? Yea, there is no rock, I know not any. Psalm 18:31 says, Who is an Eloah without Yahweh? And who is a rock except our Elohim? And Job 22:12 reads, The Mighty One girdeth me with strength, and hath made my way secure. Is not the Eloah the majesty of the heavens? The words which he has chosen to be revealed express the idea of power, might, and sovereignty. These names have been chosen by the Creator as representative signs of himself. The plural of Eloah is Elohim. What are these Elohim? We have Father power, Son power, and Free Spirit. The Father power is one, the Son power is the one Father power and plural manifestation, and the manifestation is developed by Free Spirit emanating from the Father power. Therefore, prophetic revelation concerning deity is that there is one power, multitudinously manifested, and that these manifestations constitute God. Job 38:7 reads, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the stars of the morning sang together, and all the sons of Elohim shouted for joy. Before the earth was filled, the supreme power existed in multitudinous manifestation. These sons of Elohim were built by El, whose spirit formed them. His spirit was their nucleus and made them what they are. They were sons and spirit of El. The great paternal power became Eloah to each of them and made them a son of power and collectively sons of power. The one spirit of the supreme paternal power multitudinously organized. Therefore, there was one primary creating power and a multitude of secondary powers intimately connected with and dependent on the first. This multiplication of the one power and the relation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was in existence before creation. These are Elohim. Psalm 103:20 reads, Bless Yahweh, ye his angels, mighty ones of power, doers of his word, hearkening to the voice of his command. Bless ye Yahweh, all his hosts, his ministers who do his pleasure. And Psalm 97:7 says, "Bow down to him, all ye Elohim." Hebrews 1:6 reads, "Let all the angels of God worship him." The Elohim, or angels, belong to Yahweh. They are his angels, his mighty ones of power, his hosts, and his servants who do his pleasure. He is their creator, Lord, and imperial chief. Without him, they can do nothing. El has his pleasures, and whatever he is pleased to do, he commands its execution, and the Elohim perform it by his spirit, whose material embodiments they are. They are in El, and of El, and he through them all. To see them is to see power and form and body, to see God, and yet not to see El, who no man hath seen or can see. This relationship constitutes a unity and plurality. This brings our attention forward to the memorial name. One self-existent, supreme fountain of power, El, who is spirit, is self-named I Shall Be, or Yahweh. This one Yahweh spirit power, which is God in the highest sense, and constitutes the Godhead or Father in heaven, is the springhead of many streams of spirit, which assume organic forms according to the will of the Yahweh spirit power. And these streams of spirits, when formed after the model or pattern and presented in his own substance, become spirit, Elohim, or sons of God. They are spirit because they are born of the spirit. The spirit Elohim are also God, although they are created. But there is one who is supreme over them all. He is El who created them, who alone is to be adored through an earnest belief of his promises and willing and loving obedience to his commands. He manifests or presents himself to us on earth through Jesus, although it is an incipient manifestation, because the manifestation is not complete, which is the full import of the memorial name. At the bush, what appeared to Moses was a spirit manifestation. The messenger was a spirit, a son of power, but not the supreme power, who no man has seen at any time, but an organized spirit body, through whom the supreme power, by his spirit, talked with Moses, and with whom he was veiled. The words of the messenger were the voice of the spirit, and a declaration of the spirit by whom he was angelized or sent with a message. Moses was told to go to his countrymen in Egypt and tell them that the Elohim of their fathers had sent him to deliver them from Pharaoh. They would remember the three Elohim that visited Abraham. They would recall the two that visited Lot in Sodom. They would not forget the vision of Jacob's ladder, where he saw angels of Elohim, messengers sent of Elohim. Moses knew they would be acquainted with the mighty ones of their history. And if he should present himself to them as a messenger of Elohim, they would ask, "What is his name?" Therefore, Moses felt it important to be made an acquaintance with the name of him who sent them. The Spirit imposed upon himself a name and memorialized it, by which he was to be known henceforth. Genesis 17:1 reads, "All those mighty ones of whom ye have heard, who are engaged in forming the heavens and the earth, and who recently confounded the speech of all the earth, and are about to soon overwhelm Sodom and Gomorrah, I am the power by whose spirit they did it all. Therefore walk before me, and be thou perfect." This is a great principle. It did not matter how many mighty ones they might see. They were themselves created powers, whose glory and existence were all of him, the uncreated and eternal spirit. It was the pleasure of the eternal spirit that there should, at a future period, be a multitude of Abrahamic Elohim. Hence the eternal spirit, in giving himself a name, selected one that pointed toward this future manifestation of spirit. Now a new manifestation was predetermined, a manifestation of Elohim, or sons of God, out of human flesh and spirit. Therefore he said to Moses, "I will be who I will be. Tell Israel, I will be has sent me, Moses unto you. I will be the mighty ones of your fathers, the mighty ones of Abraham, the mighty ones of Isaac, and the mighty ones of Jacob. That is my name, for an Olam, and this my memorial for the generation of the race. The memorial in its simplest form is Ea Asher Ea. I will be who I will be. Asher, or who, is both singular and plural, masculine and feminine. It will stand for 10,000 times 10,000, as well as for two or three people. The other two words come from Heya and are in the future tense, first person singular, and mean to be. The eternal spirit is the I, and the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the who. The memorial is not, I will be who they shall be, but I will be, because even though who refers to a plurality, that plurality, when developed, is the manifestation of the one eternal spirit. The memorial name speaks of a future manifestation of the eternal spirit, and this manifestation will not be of one through one only, but of one in and through many. The name covers them all, and that the many are but one Yahweh. This multitudinous manifestation of the one deity, one in many, and many in one, by his spirit, was proclaimed in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It reads, Hear, O Israel, I will be, our mighties, is one I will be. This creates the expectation that at some future time, he, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, the Most High, would appear in the midst of Israel, and that then, consequently, whatever his name might be called, he would be Emmanuel, or God with us. The Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are to be developed from the earthborn seed of Abraham upon an obedient faith, tested by trial. The Spirit, the Ael, or power of the universe, self-styled Yahweh, is their mighty ones. His nature will be theirs, so that they will be consubstantial with him, as all children are consubstantial with their parents. The deity will then be manifested in the sons of deity, he in them and they in him by the one spirit. And this company of sons, led to glory by the captain of their salvation, is the one who shall be, or the one Yahweh. Of these sons, one is the firstborn, the child born and the son given. He is Eloah, in chief, the head of the body, in whom it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell, that among all he might have the preeminence. This Eloah is the great theme of prophecy. The eternal power after this manner became flesh, and commenced the initiation of his promise, that he would be to Israel for Elohim. The Father was one Eloah, and Jesus was another, so that in this unity were developed two, who are Elohim. In John we read, Know that the Father is in me, and I in him, and that he who hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus has the preeminence, and it is through him that a future manifestation is accomplished. The Apocalypse, chapter 7, verses 9, 14, and 17 read, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands. These are they who came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him all day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Where did all these thousands come from? They are all the sons of power, spirits born of the Spirit, Israel's Elohim, or mighty ones, who were once Jews and Gentiles in unprofitable flesh, sinners under the sentence of death, but justified by an intelligent and obedient faith. To us then there is one power, the Father, out of whom are all, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus anointed, on account of whom are all, and we through him. All this development of an earthborn family of sons of God is through and on account of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, the chief cornerstone of this new manifestation of the Father's Spirit. Perfection of character and substance is the consummation predetermined by the deity and his manifestation by Spirit and Jesus and his brethren. He requires perfection of character first, and for this he gives perfection of substance, or consubstantiality with himself. The saints are a community of spirits of just ones made perfect. But while they are in the flesh, they experience imperfection continually. They are perfect in conscience, but are very imperfect in nature. So that which is perfect is not yet to come, but we wait for it. Perfect in conscience and character, we wait in full assurance of hope, the transformation of our bodies. When this transformation shall have been carried out, Christ's brethren will have been made perfect in one, as the Father is in him, and he in the Father, and they one in them both. This perfection is consubstantiality with the deity, who by his Spirit is manifested in them all. As the Elohim of Israel and the sons of the highest, the who he said he would be when he communed with Moses at the bush. This manifestation is expressed in the formula of the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the name that is above every name. This name, which comprehended two in the beginning, becomes a great multitude which no man can number. And I conclude by reading John chapter 17, verses 6 through 10 and verse 23. And it reads, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me, and they have received them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. I pray for them also who shall believe through their word into me, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one.